We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado!
From Learfield, this is the CU Buffs Insider. Here's the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson.
Welcome into the Buffs Insider, our weekly podcast, and it's the transition now between football and basketball, football being on a bye week this week, and so we're in Lynchburg, Virginia, as the Colorado Buffaloes are in the Paradise Jam. Yeah, Lynchburg, Paradise, Tory Miller's giggling alongside of me. It didn't quite seem like Paradise here, does it?
When you first get here, you know, it's home of Hardy, James Hardy, our old strength conditioning coach, so he would call this Paradise if anybody would, so yeah.
Yeah, it's not quite Paradise, but nonetheless, basketball season's underway, two games in, you're one of the seniors for the Buffaloes. Give us kind of a litmus test on what you think this team has done through two games. How do you feel about where the Buffs are at here early on?
I think we're doing a good job. Coach talked earlier about our field goal percentage and rebounding. First game we held UNC under a certain field goal percentage. Second game, we out-rebounded Denver, so this third game, we got to bring them both together.
Right. As a senior, talk about the way you kind of got ready for this season. I mean, it happened quickly. Yeah, I remember it was just yesterday. You walked in. I don't think you were shaving at that point in time. And a little bit thinner than you are now, and all of a sudden you're a grown man. Here you're senior.
You know, honestly, this year, preparation-wise, I stayed both sessions, which is something I haven't done since sophomore year. That was forced, obviously, but this year I stayed both sessions during the summer, got right with Steve, just really locked in on, like, what I needed to do to help this team as far as, like, position-wise, playing, leadership, et cetera.
You know, Tad and I have talked about this many times, and we got George here. He's going to join us in a couple of minutes. You know, over the course of Tad's tenure, he's always had seniors that understanding the end is near and the finality of college that, you know, I need to pick my level of play up a little bit. And I hope you're thinking that kind of that same way this season, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, playing against Josh Scott for 2 years, playing against Wesley for three. I mean, I played against the best of the best for the past 3 years. So I think that time has come. I need to step up and just play my game, play the game I've always been playing. But just make sure I got a sense of urgency while I'm out there playing.
What do you think you learned from those guys? So the one thing that both of those guys did very well, they kind of cleaned up mistakes in the back end, didn't they? Yeah. When something happened on the perimeter, they were always seen to be there. Is that maybe the biggest thing you learned from them?
That, especially defensively, I think that's the biggest thing I've took away from them, defense and, of course, rebounding. So defensively, though, like you said, they take up a lot of, like, the mistakes that, you know, like the crowd doesn't see or the people that doesn't know basketball see. So I think that's something that I got to, like, continue to do and just get better at.
What do you think you learned from Tad Boyle playing for him for all these seasons?
Oh, man, playing hard, honestly, and defense and rebounding being, like, the key to winning games. And every time we've done that, my sophomore year made the tournament. Last year we got to NIT, we a couple games shy, obviously. But when you defend and rebound, everything else really does take care of itself. Like, you don't have to worry about – like, I mean, I'm not saying a cliche, but, like, honestly, you don't have to worry about scoring if the other team's not scoring, you know? So it's going to come, but defense and rebounding for sure is, like, the key thing that I've picked up from Coach Boyle over the past years.
See, who knew? He's been telling the truth all along.
Exactly. He's a wise man. He's a wise man when you listen to him.
Now, was it you or who was it at the Pac-12 media event that was doing a great Tad Boyle impression? Was that you? Okay, now get back or don't walk away now. Was that you?
I don't know what you're talking about. George, who was doing Coach Boyle's impression?
Well, was that George or was that it was you? Now, George is saying it's you.
No comment on that one. No comment on that one. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I bring it up because it was actually very good. Oh, I mean, it was right on.
Oh, man. Yeah, Coach Boyle, man, you know, listening to him for the past 4 years. You pick up some things, including his voice sometimes. So, yeah, I don't. I'm going to keep that under wraps, so I'm going to say that for after the season.
You know, they say impression is a sincerest form of flattery. And I know, you know, Dallas won't do it in front of me, but Dallas says he does me all the time. So, does he?
Dallas does a great job. It's you. And it's unreal. Like he was walking around the house doing that the day. I was just like, Mark around here somewhere? Where's Mark at? So, yeah.
That's good. Hey, how about this event that we got coming up this weekend? 3 games, 3 days. Great opportunity, right?
It's a great opportunity. My last preseason, per se, tournament. Mm-hmm. So I'm approaching it like any other game, and we want to get out and get a championship, obviously, but it's going to be fun for us. I think it's going to help us long down the road.
You know, George is just standing off mic here. I'm going to invite him in a moment, but before he jumps on, I want you to tell me something about George King that you appreciate. Hey, there's a person or player or whatever.
Nothing. At all. No, I'm just kidding.
Not a thing. After all these years, nothing about George.
George is always there to motivate me. You know what I'm saying? I might snap back at him or bark at him in the heat of the moment, but at the end of the day, I think George is always there to help me get everything right. You know, he's a leader just like I am. He's one of the few seniors we got on here. So he helps everybody get where they need to be. He's always positive. I don't know how he do it. Yeah. I don't know how he do it. I've never seen George, like, let anybody get under his skin, which is a gift.
George, we'll ask you to come on over here while we're talking here. But come on over here. We're going to talk with George a little bit. But, you know, he's got some hops too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he got a little bit. He, they might have called him the best dunker. That's a little overrated. He always say 13, which is something. That's a little insider for the rest of them people. But, yeah, 13, man.
All right, George, now you tell me something about Torrey that you appreciate.
Torrey is a monster down low. He's strong. I mean, when he starts swiveling, there's nothing you can do about it. You can really bury dudes under the rim and finish on him, and that's one of his strengths that he has.
He got the parting shot as he's walking away there. Like him, you take the responsibility of being a senior very seriously?
Yes, sir. I mean, I have no choice. It's my last year, so I'm taking this year seriously, and me being a senior, I'm taking that seriously and hoping to lead this team in the right direction.
You know, I'm watching you, you know, kind of during camp and kind of getting ready and practice is over and seems like there's one guy that's standing out there still shooting, still working on his game a little bit. Your perspective changes, don't you, when you become a senior all of a sudden? Because it goes by so quickly. You keep thinking, oh, I got tomorrow, I got the next game, I got next season. And all of a sudden, you show up and you're a senior, and the end is here. And so all of a sudden, you know, kind of a switch goes off for a guy.
Absolutely. You want to take advantage of every opportunity. I mean, practice is an opportunity. After practice is an opportunity. Before practice is an opportunity. And, you know, I appreciate Jean Prelo, who's no longer with us, to really giving me the drills that I still use today to keep my pencil sharp when it comes to shooting. But I've always had the work ethic. But yeah, for sure. I mean, the time is now. I mean, there is no next year. And, you know, I've been saying for a while, I want to leave this program better than I found it. Mm-hmm. And what a great opportunity right now to go out and go and try to go get the championship this weekend.
George, what do you think you've improved on as a player? How are you better today than the freshman that showed up to play for the Buffaloes?
The mental aspect of the game slowed down a little bit for me. I just being playing off 2 feet more often, understanding the game for sure. I don't know. It's all mental. It's not like I'm jumping higher or, you know, I may be a little bit better shooter now, obviously, but. But just understanding the game, so really just the mental aspect of the game.
One thing I think as a player that by the time you get to where you're at, you kind of understand if I miss a shot, if I turn the ball over, you don't let that hang around, do you? You kind of get rid of that because the game's not going to stop for you, so you got to move on to the next play.
Absolutely. Well, that's one thing I've always had. You know, I don't see missed shots. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Even if I do miss a shot, I have the ability to put it in my head that that shot went in, mm-hmm. and I just run down the court, you know, or whatever, as if the, you know, if the defense gets a rebound, I run down the court as if the shot went in. So I try not to see missed shots.
What do you like about this team with all the newness? I mean, there's a lot of guys that haven't played a minute coming into this season. What do you like about this group?
You know, we're extremely versatile. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously I'm playing the four right now, but I mean, our small lineup is a good lineup. When we go big, we're a scary team. Our length, our athleticism, and I mean, we got guys who like to run. You know what I mean? And we got shooters too. I mean, we got all the pieces it takes to be a really good team. We got post guys who can score down low. We got wings who can run and shoot and transition. Point guards who can make plays and get to the rim and attack. And we're all athletic and we can all rebound. So, like I said, we got all the pieces. We just got to put the puzzle together now.
I would have to think as well, because right now we're seeing a lot of lineups out there with Dominic Collier, with McKinley. The way those guys see the floor, when you're an athlete like you and you know you can get out and you maybe got Naaman right on the other side, good chance you're going to get the ball in a good spot.
Absolutely, and then that's what makes us scary. I mean, obviously, teams who do scout us, our opponents, don't want us in transition. Obviously, we got altitude on our side most of the time, and we're coming down from altitude, so we're most likely not going to be as tired as the other team. So that just gives us even more reason to get out and run. So, obviously, we get transition baskets that really helps us our momentum in it, and guys start to lock in even more on defense. I mean, it's just a snowball effect at that point.
At this point, too, with where this team is made up, you're still trying to find yourself a little bit. You've always been a physical presence, a good rebounder. Is there more importance on you getting to the glass this season, considering how this team is made up?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a good rebounder. I'm a natural rebounder. We have been struggling overall. Last game wasn't a struggle. But I think if I'm going out there, I'm crashing the glass hard. That may motivate some of the other guys to really get out there and rebound as well.
Well, let's get ourselves a championship this weekend, and I'm going to be fun watching you during your senior season.
I can't wait. I'm really excited about playing here at Liberty.
As we let George King go, we transition to Andy Katz, formerly of ESPN, national college basketball writer, journalist, analyst, information man. In fact, he's going to be doing the television broadcast on Flow Hoops during this event here in Lynchburg, Virginia. And Andy, I'm not sure it's a paradise here in Lynchburg, Virginia. We were supposed to be in the Virgin Islands, but I do think it's going to be a great event this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Although I will say that the good news is we're inside all day, at least on this practice day. So it could be snowing, raining. It could be 90 degrees outside. I don't got to worry about it. And if we were in the Virgin Islands, I'd be very tempted to go outside, not want to sit in the gym. And that was the case a couple times when I went and did the battle for Atlantis. You want to be outside, but you got to be in watching the game. So, no, I think there's going to be entertaining and also very competitive basketball for a couple of reasons. A, it's early in the season, and things are usually that's the great equalizer. And two, the first game, by the way, Liberty and Mercer are two schools that are matched up against each other. It's going to be a true road game for Mercer, and they could both win their respective conferences. And so in November, we start to look at these teams that we could end up seeing in March. Then you've got a Colorado team that's trying to assert itself in the Pac-12, obviously. A Houston team, I think, could be a top three finisher in the American. And then a Wake team that has already lost twice, including to Liberty at home. So now they come into here in almost like a must-win situation. Like, they can't get out of here with only one win. Like, there's a lot more pressure, actually, on Wake coming into this because of what's happened before.
Now, I got to Colorado 14 years ago, and at that point in time, the basketball program was a blip on the screen. Tad, the last 7 years, has built a little something. I'm wondering, you know, the way you cover college basketball nationally, how do you view the Buffaloes and what Tad has done there?
All right, so first of all, remember my past. I was in Albuquerque, then I was in Fresno. So for 9 years, I lived out west, and Colorado basketball was not a factor. I'm trying to remember. I went to one game years and years ago. This would have been in the 90s. where, you know, it just, I think Joe Harrington might have been the head coach. I mean, it was just not something that was on the radar at all. And I'll tell you, the year, and I'm drawing a blank, you'll help me out here on what year it was, but the year Colorado was in the NCAA tournament in New Mexico, I was at that regional, at the Pit, and the Colorado fans were great. I thought they were the best fans in the arena that day. And that was sort of, that year I thought was a turning point for this program and showed how much passion there can be for this sport. We've seen multiple court stormings in Boulder. You know, they've created something. And I always thought the Pac-12 was a great fit for Colorado, not just for basketball, but also obviously football and where it is on the map. And, you know, it's a league where you could definitely, there's a lot of movement up and down. And I think for him to add some stability, you know, it's something that certainly can be sustained and has been.
Yeah, I think, too, when you get guys like Derek White, Andre Robertson, Spencer Dinwiddie, guys who become legitimate, Alec Burks, legitimate NBA guys, it starts to add credibility to a program. But it's not easy, is it, for a program to take that next step then and be a consistent, you know, NCAA tournament team, top-level program?
It's not, but they haven't dropped off the mat. I mean, obviously last year's 0-7 start to the Pac-12 I think is more of an anomaly. And you know, they weren't blown out of these games. I mean, it was just one of those years where things just didn't go right. And then they rectified it toward the end. But the fact that they were able to weather early entry defections, I think shows that this program, you know, can sustain it. That it's not just, you know, we have a good team or a great team. We have a program that we can deal with these departures. And, you know, they got to find the right fit guys. I think more than anything, Tad is very comfortable in his own skin. He knows who he is, and the university also knows what its mission is. And sometimes these schools and coaches try to be something they are not, and I think Colorado finally found the right pieces to match up. And, you know, this is a destination job for him. I'm not saying he's never going to go to another school. To be honest, I think the only one that he would leave for is if something like a Kansas ever opened up. Other than that, I think he's obviously very happy where he is.
Let me ask you kind of a broad-based college basketball question right now. This season beginning with a bit of a dark cloud hanging over with the old FBI thing. What's kind of your take and your view of what we're watching right now in college basketball?
Well, I firmly believe, yes, the cloud was there, and there are going to be changes. But I firmly believe that there's enough good basketball, elite-level talent, competitive games that we've already seen in the first week of the season, that it's not going to get swallowed up by the investigation. Now, what will happen every once in a while is that investigation is going to pop up. We don't know where, we don't know when. And so that, you know, sort of lurking over your shoulder, I think could be something that's a little bit suspicious. But I think overall, it's going to be a really good year. I think it's, you know, as good as Duke looked the other night or Michigan State, I still think there's a number of teams that could win it. I think that most of these leagues actually, while there may be a favorite like in Arizona in the Pac-12, I think it's wide open after that. So I think you're going to see a lot of jockeying and basically a lot of teams in play for spots.
Do you think this is going to have an effect, like a purifying effect on college basketball ultimately?
Hope so. Yeah. You know, this has always been the unwritten secret that, you know, there was illicit behavior going on. No one ever wanted to turn someone in, be that snitch. And so you hope that if at the very least this will A, scare people into not being unethical, and then B, try to streamline the process. You're not going to get the sneaker companies out of the sport because these schools desperately rely on it. I mean, you know, I'm talking to you here. People can't see this, but you've got a swoosh because Colorado is sponsored by Nike. Imagine for a minute here, okay, for your listeners, imagine if schools had to pay for every single piece of clothing and shoes. I mean, that's millions of dollars that they'd have to deal with in terms of constantly dressing, if you will, all their sports teams. So universities are not going to walk away from that. It's basically, you know, can they create this church and state between, yes, we want your sponsorship, but at the same time, we don't want you controlling where some of these players are going and how you influence them.
I know you're just getting your first look at Colorado here, but that number 25 signing out to McKinley Wright, have you got a sense of him? What have you heard about him? He's one of those guys that just gets the game, and it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, in talking to Tad about him, I mean, he thinks he could end up being, you know, one of the best guards that's come through in Colorado, which is saying something, because there's been some good ones, obviously, and Chauncey Billups, one of the best, if not the best. So, you know, there's certainly a good history of that position. You know, you can see already he's got great bounce and feel for it, and he's active. You know, I think Tad will have a great connection with him.
Andy Katz, he's doing the broadcast of the tournament here in Lynchburg, Virginia for Flo Hoops. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Well, our thanks to Andy Katz for joining us for a couple of minutes here in the Buffs Insider. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, here in Lynchburg, Virginia, getting ready for the Paradise Jam this weekend. You know, we joke about not being in Paradise. The event was supposed to be in the Virgin Islands, which was decimated because of two hurricanes. The founder of the Paradise Jam is Nels Håkansson. You'll remember his son, Josh Håkansson, who was an outstanding player the last 4 years for Washington State. He's joining us here for a couple of minutes. Now, is this event this weekend? You guys are doing some great stuff trying to support the people in the Virgin Islands, which have been so good to this event over the years. And I know there's a lot of things going on this weekend that's going to benefit the Virgin Islands.
Well, one of the bid process for the eight teams that are participating was the chance and opportunity to host. And what Liberty was willing to do is to give every dime that comes in from ticket sales to that. Our goal is $100,000 that we can do down. I created a foundation about 3 years ago, so every dime goes to that, and they, you know, doesn't go to staffing or pens or paper or whatever, because we, after 20 years of being in the Virgin Islands, I understand that I actually got the key to the city, which was kind of a big deal last spring. I was only the second guy in 100 years that the U.S. has owned that when we bought that from Denmark back before you and I were, maybe when our great-grandfathers were dating, you know, when they first bought that. But this is the 100th anniversary of the U.S. Virgin Islands, and sadly, this is the year that we cannot be there when they need us most, when, you know, when they want to feel normal again, when they need something to look forward to, and, of course, need the economy coming to the island. So we've tried to make this event here in Liberty to be as Virgin Islands as we possibly can. I'm calling it Lynchburg Island, actually, is what I'm trying to do. And it was just fun to watch CU practice. First practice I've been able to watch because I've had a son playing at Washington State for 4 years battling you guys. And so now that he's not on the team, I can watch the Buffs practice because I know your whole staff, amazing. We got the opportunity to take them on their Italy trip this summer, which was huge with all the young kids that you've got. You've got some incredible young talent. They got a chance to mature really, really quickly, which is going to pay dividends, you know, in the season already.
You know, you talked to the team after the practice and showed them the shirts they were getting and that kind of thing. And you mentioned Tim Duncan being a Virgin Island native is kind of involved peripherally in terms of the help that's going on down there.
Yeah, so Timmy, as they call him in the islands, Timmy, he was actually a swimmer. And in an earlier hurricane, the one, the swimming pool on the island that was public blew up. So he became a basketball player. And, you know, just like, you know, things happen in your lives for certain reasons. So why did it blow up? And why are people just, you know, still without power, you know, up until Christmas or thereafter? There's reasons for it. I just have to come up with solutions, you know, what that is. And we had many of them. We were going to move to St. Croix. We're going to move it to San Juan. The second hurricane wiped that out. I had already had a cruise ship lined up to brought in for a hotel. I thought it'd be the first time ever in tournament history that people live in a cruise ship, eat in a cruise ship, put it in the harbor there. Well, then with all this, when the second hurricane came, the value of that cruise ship became more money than I was willing to pay. And then the gym that was fine, and we had to bring in a new $100,000 floor. FEMA took over the gym, and that was the last straw. You know, I have backup to the backup to the backups. I had none left, and tourism and the governor said, you just can't come. As much as you need to be there, and we want you there, you know, we will be there in spirit. And, of course, the acting governor will be here. Tourism will be here in their support. And we just appreciate to see you and all the teams understanding it, that this isn't what anybody wants. And we're doing the best we can, what we have, in this being our 18th year.
Well, it's really been a tough transition. You guys have done a great job with that. But with that being said, we're not in the Virgin Islands, but it looks like it's going to be a great event.
You know, it is. I'm shocked. I've never been on the campus of Liberty before. Their facilities, this is a nice arena. The staff here is amazing. They're treating everybody well. Of course, CU had to come the far as a distance. And I'll publicly say I'm a Pac-12 guy. My wife actually played for the Huskies and then the Pac-8, so that'll show our age there. But so, you know, I'd love if CU could bring that home, but I don't have any eligibility left, nor minutes that I can play. The only thing I could probably do anyway, even if I had eligibility left, was I could maybe throw an inbounds pass. That's about all I got left in me.
You and me both. Hey, before we let you go, we mentioned your son, Josh Hawkinson, who just wore the Buffs out and everybody else in the Pac-12 for his time. Now he's in Japan. Bring us up to date. How's he doing?
You know, he hasn't played Josh Scott yet. The battle that Josh is. Josh Scott is over there, too, as well. And, they've become pretty good friends. No, he's, you know, the first time you're away, and he's pretty cultured. He's been to 25 countries. But till you live on your own in another country and no one speaks English and, you know, and he's never had a girlfriend anyways. But I told him, hey, buddy, if you get married in the next 7 months in Japanese, you can be the starting power forward for the Japanese national team because they're hosting the Olympics in 2020. You could be in your Olympics. You sure ain't good enough to be on our USA team. You can play for Japan. So, no, he's making some good money and good for him, but it's a growing pains for him. He'll be all right.
Boy, he was a heck of a player. Well, we appreciate the time, and let's have a great event this weekend.
No, that's great. Thanks for your time as well.
Our thanks to Nels Hawkinson for joining us here on the Buffs Insiders, who put a wrap on the podcast this week. We're in Lynchburg, Virginia, getting set later on today for the Buffaloes opening round game at 3:30 Mountain Time. In fact, we're going to hit the air with Buffs Warm-Up presented by Safeway, our pregame show, the tip-off between the Buffaloes at 2-0 and the Bobcats of Quinnipiac at 4 o'clock Mountain Time on the Colorado Basketball Network and, of course, streaming live at CUBuffs.com. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, as we put a wrap this week on the Buffs Insider.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.